Welcome to Countdown to Kickoff here on WAER.
Across the 10 to the 5, still on his feet, and into the end zone. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle straightaway free, sinks it. Tyus Battle is 5 for 5. The freshman is on fire.
Pass in front to Evans. Oh, what a shot and a goal. Behind the back by Jordan Evans.
Welcome back to the double overtime here on WAER.
The greatest stories from America's greatest college sports station. It's time for the best of WAER Sports Podcast.
The field is now set for the NCAA tournament, and the Syracuse University men's basketball team, they're in the field of 68. Last week, there was a lot of discussion on who was in and who was out, and even after Selection Sunday, if you are still confused about how the process works, WAER's Drew Carter takes us to school for Bracketology 101.
Okay, all right, settle down, take your seats, close your laptops. I know you're just filling out your March Madness brackets. Class is in session. Let's get started. There's a new buzzword floating around college basketball this year, and the closer we get to Selection Sunday, the more you hear it.
Because what are these quadrants?
Quadrant system.
First quadrant.
So what is a quadrant, and why does it matter? Well, for the answer, we've got a special guest on hand. It's Brent Axe from ESPN Radio Syracuse. Brent, the floor is yours.
Okay, so pay attention. There's going to be a quiz later. The NCAA Selection Committee in the past has divided a team's wins in terms of RPI. Those wins were categorized into top 50, top 100, top 200. Okay?
All right, got it. But before we move on, a little refresher. RPI stands for Ratings Percentage Index. It's a main ingredient in the recipe the committee uses to evaluate teams. But it's not perfect. Just ask Ken Pomeroy, who runs a popular advanced stats website, kenpom.com.
The biggest issue is that the strength of schedule, part of it is kind of wonky. I mean, there's two aspects to the RPI. There's your own winning percentage and the strength of schedule. The strength of schedule does not account for, like, where games are played. There's some other quirks in it that are kind of bizarre. Like, strength of schedule includes opponent's winning percentage. And by definition, like, the team we're talking about is their own opponent's opponent. So, like, your own record goes into schedule strength as well.
And that's why the bracket architects have a new tool. Brent, continue.
Now the selection committee is going to group a team's wins and losses into four quadrants, with each quadrant ranking based on whether they were played at home, on a neutral court, or in a true road environment.
All right, this is the important part. Get out those notebooks and pencils.
A quadrant one win means that you beat a team at home that has an RPI ranking between 1 and 30. A quadrant one win is also awarded to a team that beat someone on a neutral floor that has an RPI ranking between 1 and 50, or a road win for an opponent that has an RPI ranking between 1 and 75. Syracuse is two of those in the bank, Miami and Louisville.
Slow your roll, Brent. Don't get ahead of yourself. We'll talk about how this affects Syracuse in a moment. For now, just finish up with the specifics.
Okay. Quadrant 2 is home win in the 31 to 75 range, neutral 51 to 100, away 76 to 135. Quadrant 3 is a home win 76 to 160, neutral 101 to 200, away 136 to 240. So there you go. There you go. That's what quadrants are.
All right. Seems simple enough. Brent, thanks for coming. You're free to go. Students, you're not. We've got plenty more to cover, so let's get right into the who, how, and why these quadrants were born.
The reason that the selection committee moved to the quadrant system is to better define the value of winning games in terms of home court, neutral court, and road games.
That's Dave Ammon, who runs Bracketville.com. Over the last few years, he's been the most accurate forecaster of the tournament field.
Well, I think the committee, you know, over the years has placed value on road wins. What is your road record? Who did you beat away from home? Who did you play away from home? But now with the quadrant system, it's easier to define that.
And in order to accomplish that goal, the committee enlisted some help.
Asked me, hey, what would the sensible cutoffs be for this? I'm like, do you think this is a, you know, an improvement? And like, yeah, sure, it's an improvement. And just, you know, put out the numbers in a couple of hours and gave it back to them. And that's all it took. So it was pretty cool. You know, the NCAA obviously doesn't move very fast on many things. And this isn't necessarily some sort of earth-shattering change, but it was kind of cool to see that they did this pretty quickly.
Did you actually work with the committee for this?
Yeah. I mean, this was something that came out of the meeting, you know, last year that we had out in Indianapolis. one of my main complaints with the RPI is it doesn't really consider home and road. So that was kind of one of the things that I tried to get across to them. And, you know, I guess that it actually stuck. So a little bit of progress.
We've been getting a lot of questions about this, and people are still like, what is this and how important is it? And see, that the beauty of this, in a way, is we still don't know.
Ultimately, we won't know the answer to that potentially until Sunday night when the actual bracket comes out.
Syracuse picked up three Quadrant 1 wins this year.
And Syracuse comes on the road into the KFC Yum Center and gets a big 5-point win at Louisville. And Syracuse on the road, an impressive victory, 62-55 over the Miami Hurricanes.
Syracuse 55, Clemson 52.
But that's one of the lower totals among bubble teams. Still, quadrant wins aren't the whole pie. They're just a slice.
You know, for a while, Buffalo, who Syracuse played this year, had an RPI in the 20s to around 30. So for a while, that was a home quadrant one win. But nobody's going to mistake a win over Buffalo, say, for a home win over Clemson like they just got, even though they would both be a group one. So within each of those groups, there's still those nuances that the committee has to account for.
Okay, any questions about how quadrants work? Great. Class dismissed. Now come back on Sunday to find out how important they are. Drew Carter, WAER Sports.
Two weeks ago, we profiled the relationship between Todd and Brendan Curry. But there's a few more father-son duos on this year's SU lacrosse team. WAER's J.D. Rocci has one with a bit of championship flair in Like Father, Like Son Part 2 with Bob and Owen Siebold.
It must be pandemonium on the sidelines. Syracuse with possession. 4 seconds remaining. They're on top by one. Jeff McCormick with the ball, throws it far upfield into Brian Holman. That's it! The ball game's over! Syracuse is the new NCAA Division I champion!
The date was May 28, 1983 at Rutgers University. Syracuse stormed back from a 7-goal deficit in the third quarter to stun top-ranked Johns Hopkins in the national championship game. Bob Siebold was a starter on that 83 title team, and he knew the Orange just had something special on that day.
It was kind of weird because we were not feeling like we were ever really out of the game based on our, you know, team chemistry and the year that we had that year. We had, come back two games, prior to that and really felt comfortable that it was really just a matter of time before, the wheels started turning in our direction.
Obviously, the wheels eventually did begin to turn for Siebold and company, and the Orange helped to create something the then senior would never forget.
You know, winning the national championship was, obviously a lifelong memory for me. Most every other team would have felt like, okay, well, we got here and this is it, but we just didn't feel that way on the field. It was pretty special.
With that win, Siebold and the rest of that 83 team went down in the history books for SU lacrosse. But just how lasting was that win for Central New Yorkers? Well, how about I let Bob's son, Owen, tell you a little story.
I didn't know, truly how much up here, people actually knew about him. I was at a restaurant last semester, and the guy asked me what my name was because I was wearing a Syracuse lacrosse shirt. So I told him my name was Owen Siebold, and he was just like, are you Bobby's son? And I was like, yeah, how do you know him? And he was like, oh, I used to go to, all the games back here. He was amazing, all that. It was just, really cool to hear that, because I looked up to my dad my whole life, and it was just kind of cool to hear about someone knowing him, knowing his story, and kind of looking up to him too when they were younger. So it was just kind of cool.
The reason Owen was wearing a Syracuse lacrosse shirt that day is because he's one of this year's standout freshmen for SU. A Texas native, Owen knew about his dad's lacrosse success, but was completely unaware of how much it meant in Central New York.
I knew he was very successful and all that, but I guess I didn't really understand the magnitude of being a successful Syracuse lacrosse player growing up because I just wasn't around a bunch of lacrosse fans.
As the number 20 recruit in the country and an Under Armour All-American, Owen is more than on his way to following in his dad's footsteps on the hill, and that's probably because Bob got him started early and often.
I ran the youth program in our little hometown, and Owen, he's had a lacrosse stick in his hands basically since he was born. So we got him on the field before he was supposed to be on the field.
But even though Bob had a stick in his son's hand from an early age, Owen never felt like he had to play lacrosse.
And he never pressured me to play. You know, he was always like, if it's not your, like, love, if it's not what you want to do when you're older, then you don't have to. But I told him I did, and he really invested in me. He's been a great influence.
And with that investment came hours and hours of work.
There's been so many nights, like, in the backyard, out on the field, on the, like, playing wall ball with him. He just, like, he teaches me so much about the game. Like, everything I have, I mean, all my skills I owe to him.
But Bob isn't so quick to take all the credit that Owen wants to give him. He says athleticism is simply in his son's blood.
He's always been a great athlete, you know, on his mom's side. He's got two uncles who played NCAA football. His grandfather played NCAA football. Of course, I played NCAA lacrosse. I mean, he's got the genes, so he's always a very good athlete.
All those hours of training, coaching, and wall ball that the pair had put in had Owen looking up to his dad from very early on in his life, and that meant looking up to SU.
I think it was the 2008 championship game that Syracuse was in up in Boston. We were playing Hopkins, I believe. That was our 25th anniversary for our 83 team to you know, go be honored down on the field. So I brought all my family and, you know, both my boys. I think from that day on, it was pretty much solidified for him. Just being in that atmosphere, being with the Syracuse crowd, the tailgate, the whole Syracuse community, and being at the game, obviously, was a great game.
And when Owen did make the decision to come to Central New York, Bob was incredibly proud of his son, but wanted him to leave his own mark on SU.
Obviously, made me very, very proud that he would go and follow in his footsteps, but I try to stay out of his hair. This is his experience, his team, his four-year career. Shouldn't have anything to do with me.
And Owen says he'll have no regrets no matter the outcome of his career in Orange.
Of course, there's a little pressure. Like, I'm not going to, like, lie to you. Like, of course, like, I know how great he was here. So there's definitely some pressure, but I try my best just not to think about it. I mean, he's taught me so much, and I just like to go out there and play my game. And if I end up living up to those expectations, then great. And if I don't, I'm still living my dreams.
And that dream is already off to a great start. J.D. Rocci, WAER Sports.
You've been listening to the best of WAER Sports Podcast. Find a full broadcast schedule at our website, waer.org. Follow us on Twitter and subscribe in iTunes. Just search for WAER Sports.